What is the most important thing that we do here at the University of Healing? Sort of an educational lecture here. What is the most important thing that we do at the University of Healing? The most important thing that we do at the University of Healing is to follow the program that the university has. When people come to the University of Healing and to the campus, they want to go swimming, they want to go mountain climbing, they want to go dancing, they want to go in town, they want to go to the ocean, they want to go here, they want to go there, they want to drive in the cars, take the Jeep, they want to take the golf carts, they want to do all of these things, they want to eat. Oh my, do we like to eat. And we do all those things. Now, what is the purpose of the University of Healing? What is the purpose of the University? Why do we have the University of Healing? Well, we cannot get away from it. The University of Healing is a school. And every activity within the university is a school. Now just take, for instance, we begin our day. We get up in the morning. We get up in the morning, and when we get up in the morning, we think to ourselves, what are we going to do? What shall I do? Shall I take my shower? Shall I brush my teeth? Shall I shave? Shall I wash my face? Shall I wear this clothing or that clothing? What shall I do? Oh, my gracious sakes, what shall I do? And let's see now. Today I want to go to town, or today I want to work on this project or that project or that project. And this is what I want to do. And today. Now, the University of Healing is a school. And every function of the University of Healing is a function of training ourselves as a school. It is a practice. So, first thing you do, we tell our students and we tell ourselves, when you wake up in the morning and say, hi, wonderful day, how are you doing? I'm wonderful, I'm fantastic, what a great, wonderful day, what a fantastic day. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I'm fantastic, I'm fantastic, I'm fantastic, I'm fantastic. And by the time you get out of bed, you float out of bed, you know? And then you go about your activities. Oh, what wonderful face I have, what wonderful complexion I have, what a wonderful body I have. And, you know, you don't say, oh, you look more beautiful than I do, you have a more wonderful physique than I do. You say, we are all beautifully formed. We are all glorious. We are all divine. You see? And then you say that. So then you come to breakfast. And you don't use golf carts. You don't use trucks. You don't use vehicles to come to breakfast, even though it's quite a distance from the various houses to the monastery. You walk. Because that's what the purpose of the monastery is for. We have a lot of acres so you can walk on them. And your, whatever you want to call him, the teacher of the University of Healing, the master, the trainer, whatever, he walks the morning path before he comes to breakfast even. He gets up and he walks the 3-4 mile path around the campus before he comes to breakfast. And oftentimes he's sitting in his house giving a half hour lecture before he comes here, or sometimes 2 or 3 of them. And he has his breakfast, he has his vitamin pills, and he has whatever he does, and he brushes his teeth, and he cleans himself, and he takes his dog for a walk, and he does all the good things that have to be done. And that's all before he comes on his walk, before he comes here to the campus, to the headquarters, because he too is always in training. He too is always in the awareness that all is in divine order. We had a phone call from a lady the other day. She said, in Minneapolis, the terrorists were causing threats upon the school. And I wrote to her. I said, thank you for letting me know all is in divine order. Now, is all in divine order?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a terrorist problem? No, not at all. If instantly we would say, all is in divine order, whenever we have a condition coming in our life, then we would do it. But that takes practice, practice, practice. And that practice comes to us only when we make ourselves trained in this practice. We practice all these things. Now, the main thing here at the University of Healing is going to the doctor is going to the dentist, is going in town to do shopping, is going in town to go to the Apple store to be trained. It's going away from the campus. That's the main thing. And nothing should take priority over our going away to do these things. And so we come to breakfast and we say, "Oh, I'm going in town now. Goodbye." And off they go. Now, they may have a reason for doing it, but they set up their own appointments. They set up their own appointments. Now, they could set up their appointment to start with them having plenty of time to leave after our breakfast activities are done. Because our breakfast activities are a definite part of the campus programming. And it is definitely what we must program for ourselves. And if we don't program it, then we are not interested in having the campus program. We say, "Oh my God, I want to be close to campus, I want to be on the campus, I want to be a part of the campus." For what reason? So you can leave early and go off to some appointments, or so that you can be part of the program. And part of the program is our morning activity, our morning bitch session that I give to you. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. The morning session that I give to you about telling you how wonderful you are, how great you are, how beautiful you are. Now, if this is not a training program, if this is not a thing, then what the hell? I'm going to sleep in. Why should I get up early in the morning? Why should I get up early in the morning and get my walk in and get my talk in and get my activities done and then be over here in time to be with you, to share with you at the time you schedule? You said 8 o'clock is the time you want breakfast. Okay, 8 o'clock. Then if 8 o'clock is too late because you have so many things to do, schedule it at 7 or at 6 or at 5. I don't care. We'll schedule it. We go to bed at 9 or 8 or 7 or 6 in the evening, depending upon when we get up, so we can have our 8 hours in, maybe 10 hours of sleep, you know. And of course, with all the time we sleep during the day, it's really interesting. Now, this is a school. And if you choose to come to the University of Healing, to the Absolute Monastery, to the school, expect that you're going to be expected to participate in the program. And the program is, everybody says beautiful things about everybody else. Everybody says, "You're wonderful, you're fantastic, you're glorious, you're beautiful, you're whole, you're perfect." Not, "Did I get home, dear, somebody stepped on my what do you say? On my feet, yeah. Somebody stepped on my, I hurt my feelings. Somebody stepped on my feelings, you know? Somebody stepped on my feelings. Somebody hurt my feelings. They didn't speak nice to me. They didn't say good things to me." Hey, who created them doing that? How could anyone say anything unkind to us if we don't have an unkind thought in our mind? If we don't have an unkind bone in our body? If we don't have an unkind attitude in our world? Nobody can say anything unkind to us. Oh, I was thinking about when I went over to Europe there, and I went over to see our Illuminati group, you know, and right at the moment they're all sort of pissed off at me for some reason. And I went over there, and I gave seminars, and none of them showed up, and that's great. And so then we went over to Heinz's house because Heinz was going to have a wonderful seminar site for us at his house, and he charged us for it. And I thought to myself, my goodness, if I'd known this, we wouldn't have come, because this is not the point. This is not the point. He didn't tell me ahead of time he was going to charge. You know, all of a sudden, he's charging. And then, what? Everybody of the Illuminati came, and they had dinner with me, and they told me how uptight they were with me, and how upset they were with me, and how upset they were with the philosophy. And then they all went home. They drove several hundred miles from Heinz's house to their homes. Trimalun, set it down. Engelbart, you're trying to clean up the place here because you're bored with what I'm talking? Well, then let it alone. Get so excited about me, Engelbart, that you give me all your attention and you're watching me. This is a school. This is a school. And if it's not a school, then don't come. You see, people don't want what I'm doing right now. But if you want to be the ball player that catches those impossible catches, they had practice for that. If you want to be the spiritual master that is aware of your body. If you want a perfect body, a perfect mind, a perfect world, if you want your kids and your husbands and wives and families and mothers and fathers to be in their ideal situation, you got to have an ideal situation in your mind, in your thought, in your world. You can't go around here being half interested in what's going on. You cannot. And if you're going to be around here and be half interested, well, then die. All of you. Me too. If I'm not 100% interested in this philosophy that we teach and share, which is the philosophy of every great master that ever walked the face of the earth, not just Herb's philosophy, not just the University of Healing philosophy, it's a universal philosophy. And if it is not something that turns us all on, then we're aiming at the wrong star. We're aiming at the wrong star. You know, in the Discovery Magazine for April 2010, they have some articles about how they're trying to get the basic laws of physics and how the early scientists had come up with the basic laws for physics and how the scientists today are trying to make the information we have fit in with the basic laws, and they don't fit in because the basic laws do not include the unbasic things. They do not include the impossible. Now, how can you say that when you think a thought, this happens? Now, what law of physics does that put in motion? Law of cause and effect, but that's not physics. That's a law that goes beyond it. The scientists in the early days were great physicists, and they had no problems because they had a divine. They had a divinity. They had God. And whatever they couldn't understand, they said it was God at work. Now, how wonderful, yeah? Now, scientists today can't do that. They're coming around to it, but they can't do that. They can't say intuition, inspiration, illumination. They can't say that. Now, did you ever hear of a more fallacious scientific statement than the Big Bang Theory? That's pure illumination, pure imagination, pure inspiration. The Big Bang Theory. Where did the first atom come from that they said split and became the universe that we know today? 15 billion years later. Where'd it come from? Well, if you don't have a divinity, if you don't have a greatness, a something of you that you are beyond the law, is God subject to the law of the scientists, of the law of humanity, of the law of these things? God uses it, you might say. But he's not subject to it. Because you can learn how to play baseball on the backyard, back lots, as a kid. And you're good. Then you go into training, and you're better. You go into high school, where you really the coaches are teaching you all the techniques. Then you go into college. You play college pro. And then you go on into the pro field. And each is a step. Now, what you are doing as a highly paid pro football, basketball, baseball, tennis, golf, hockey, whatever you want to say, whatever you are paid that outrageous sum of money, is because you learned your lesson. You paid attention. And it's not because you developed great bodily skills. It's because you have a clean circuit between your brain and your muscles. Right now we have dirty circuits between our brains and our muscles. We think our muscles are one thing and our brain is another. We think our brain can say that we are lovely and that our muscles can hurt because we went out and did some exercise. Well, here I am, past 25, and I spent 5-6 hours yesterday sitting on the tractor, driving it up and down, going straight up and down the hill, doing all of them, and even creating some new paths and cleaning up the thing. And there's a lot more to be done. But I have 6 hours almost driving around with that, doing this, getting off and picking up rocks and taking the shovel. And I had 8-10 berms that are maybe 6 feet long sticking out into the road next to drains where I wanted to close those drains up because I wanted the water to be going a different direction. And my other handymen decided that they would create things differently. They like things with lots of drains, and I don't. I want one drain out and clean as a whistle. So I dug that, and I shoveled, and I shoveled, and I shoveled. The dirt was maybe 2 feet high and maybe a foot and a half, 2 feet wide, you know, and there's a berm 6 feet long. There's about 8 of them, and I shoveled them back and shoveled them back. And I took big rocks, and I laid them around, and I said, I feel great, great, great. I said, super, super, super. And I went around doing all that stuff, and then the rain came down. And the rain came down, and I put a different hat on. And so I went out in the rain. Well, what the heck, you know? I was going to give my day over to this thing. And I worked 3 hours in the rain. And the rain really came down. And I just worked with that tractor and did marvelous things with that tractor and shoveling. And it was nice because the dirt was all light. You know, it was all wet and moist, easy to dig. And I fixed everything up beautiful. And my point is,
had fun.
I'm going to say this once, but don't remember it. I passed 83 years of age April 2nd, and I'm doing that. You are 25, and you do that, and you get tired, and you get upset, and your muscles are all upset. You tell your muscle, oh, my aching muscle. Your muscles don't know how to ache except through your mind. And if you have a clear channel between your mind and your muscles, they will not ache. Why do you think we have cancer? We have cancer because we have such a lot of maybe hidden hatreds and hidden animosities and hidden anxieties in us. We're not bad for this. We're stupid. We're not bad. Good people die of cancer. Beautiful people. Fantastic. But they have somewhere in their life allowed themselves to have this anxiety and this feeling of concern. And with that feeling of concern, what happens to them? They kick off. Now, we don't need to. Now, a lot of people say, well, yeah, you don't have cancer. You don't. That's right, and I'm not going to, as far as I can help it. I'm going to keep myself clean at all times. My mind is always clean. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole. I walk my path and I say, I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. And I'm walking up the side of a mountain and over to the monastery and back around to do different things. I'm vital, dynamic, alive. I say it, 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 because I remind my brain that it's in charge. And as I walk anywhere, I say it. And I look at the Border Patrol who drive their trucks all over our beautiful roads that I have cleaned up so nicely, and they go this way and they go that way. And I think to myself, that's interesting. Now, I create the Border Patrol coming on our property, that's okay, but I create them honoring our roads. I create them respecting our road. Just like they wouldn't drive in somebody's front yard in the city, they wouldn't certainly drive in our yard, but they don't think of it as our yard. They think of it as a big open outdoors. And this is what the federal government is trying to teach people. Do not think of the federal parks and the giant national parks and the county parks and so on as great open doors to drive your four-wheel vehicles all over it or your three-wheel vehicle. Stay on the roads, the pathways that are designed for them. And if you do that, we'll let you drive there. But if you don't, we're going to cut it off. We're going to make it against the law to drive on that property because you're not respecting the front yard of these of nature, of the park. The park has beautiful lawns, it has beautiful gardens, it has beautiful trees, natural, indigenous. They're not planted there, they're planted by nature. And when you drive over them with your 3-4-wheel vehicle, you just make a path that is never lost. Think of the trails across the desert that the early pioneers made in the 18th century. Think of it. They're still there. Mm-hmm. They're still there. Think of the road going up the side of the hill, up the side of the mountain, where people are taking their dirt bikes and going brr, brr, brr. The police stopped them from doing it 20 years ago, and it's still there. Still there. You see, now, what do? We say, everyone honors this property. Everyone honors our roads. Everyone honors everything. And when we say that, then we too honor it.
Mm-hmm.
We too. Point. We do not look at anything and call it bad. We look at everything and call it good. We have beautiful roads here. We make it wonderful for the BLM, for the Border Patrol, to drive their vehicles on our property looking for the international travelers. We look, and the drug smugglers, but they don't bother us. We bless them, we honor them, and we let the Border Patrol do its job, just like we let the policemen do their job on the street for the Highway Patrol. We don't tell them, stay off of the highway. We tell, drive beautifully. And the police, they can cut across the middle of the roadway and for no reason, but and sometimes for a reason, but they cut across, and we're not allowed to do that. It's against the law for us to do that. And we say, okay, the policeman is doing his duty. He's doing his job. But you don't ever have to do your job like that. The policeman could drive around this world, this country, and not see one terrorist, and not have any terrorists. The policeman could drive around this world and not see one violator of any of the rules. It's up to us. It's up to us. Now you, silly goose, think about it. You live in your ideal temple of the living God. Your ideal body. Your ideal body. And your ideal body has beautiful vessels for flowing blood, for your lymph glands, and for all the other things that you got in your body, you know? Now, they are functioning perfectly. There's no clogged arteries, there's no clogged this or that, there's no clogged thinking. That's where it starts. But you are open and clear. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect. Now, if you ever think that some organ, action, function of your body is not perfect, it's because you think it's not perfect.
Uh-huh.
And the minute you start thinking it's perfect, you don't even think about it. You just live as though it's perfect, and it is so. Live as though you're healthy, and you're so. Live as though you're wealthy, and it's so. Really, this is the principle. This is the scientific principle that science one day will learn, that there is but one rule that governs the universe, and it's the rule of cause and effect. Cause everything good, it's good. Now, why are there a jillion billion stars in the sky? Why are there so many sand drops on the seashore? Why is some people happy and some people sad? Why are some people born in negative environments and others born in good environments? Why are some people born in negative environments come out great, some people born in good environments come out bad? You know, why? That's all attitude. Simply, purely, wonderfully attitude. Now, what's your attitude? What kind of environment were you born in? Who cares? Who are you now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you running away from the school? Are you not setting the school activities as your primary purpose for being here on campus? Then please, don't be here. If you're setting the primary activities on campus to be your spiritual growth, great. Spiritual awareness, great. If not, forget it. You're not wanted. You're not wanted by yourself, and certainly not by us, because we don't even know you exist if you want to be here with problems. Ellen, what are you? What do we work with here?
With attitude.
We work here with solutions.
Oh, okay.
Not problems. Problems, problems, problems. What do we work here with? Do we work
solutions.
Here with problems? Okay. Now, attitude has nothing to do with solutions, has it?
No.
And there's no direction there. Okay, now, problem, solution.
Yeah.
The solution is what we work with here. And if you don't give me solutions that you would like to see put in one, Ingeborg comes up and he says, Herb, my computer's this, my computer's that, my computer's the other thing. I think, well, goody, goody, goody. Let's hope it crashes. You know, I mean, you're going right downhill with it. And I say, Ingeborg, what do you really want from me? Well, I'd like you to make it work. Well, wonderful. I'm good at that. I love making things work. So I go in there, and we start from scratch and start it over with, turn it off, and always turn it off first, and then start again, and everything readjusts itself, and lo and behold, it works. Lo and behold. Now, I did that too, but it didn't. You didn't expect it to work. You understand me? You didn't expect it to work. How can it work when you don't expect it to work? Well, it's a mechanical thing, and it should work whether I expect it to or not. Oh, no, 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 no. Everything in this life is mental. And if you don't expect it to work, it's not going to work. If you don't expect your dog to behave, he's not going to behave. If you don't expect everything to fall right into your lap because you're such a wonderful person, it's not going to fall. And if you think that there's anybody else in this entire universe who is your boss, who is telling you how to live your life, who is pointing fingers at you or putting you down in any way or putting you up, you're stupid. Because you're giving somebody outside of yourself permission to have power over you and your life experience. So if somebody comes along and says, "My Ingeborg, don't you look beautiful?" And they all usually say, "Today." You know, "My Ingeborg, don't you look beautiful today?" And you just smile at them and say, "Thank you." You know, you don't say, "What do you mean, today?" You know, "What do you mean, look beautiful? I don't look beautiful other times." Right away, we make a big case out of it. And hey, nobody says anything except beautiful things to me. And if they say, "Herb, you are slim and trim and beautiful," and I say, "Thank you." That's the image I have of myself. That's the way I live my life. That's beautiful. They say, "Herb, your pants are falling down. You're losing weight." And I said, "Well, how about that? How about that?" You know? And am I almost my perfect weight? I'm at perfect weight now. Mentally. And now, as I keep that picture only in my attention, only in my attitude, only in my awareness, that's done. Now, do you understand? Do you understand? Do you understand why it is so important for me, as I look at each one of you, being the role model of teacher that I am, and that as I look at each one of you, and when I see that you are not interested in what the University of Healing teaches, I am not interested in having you accomplish anything at all in your life. I release you to your own devices. If you do not want the program we offer here, I release you to your own devices. If my friends in Europe who were with me for 30 years all of a sudden are finding new gurus and new masters and new attitudes, bless them. Bless them. Hey, time we untie the apron string, you know. Time we let that umbilical cord be cut and we start having our own adventures and so forth. But you watch, every one of them, what they learned here, they will be living their life by. They'll be fighting it, as they did here. They'll be fighting it, and when they fight it, then they go down for the punch. If they don't fight it, if they just know that this is what they believe, this is their belief, and live it, they will be in immortality. Not dead. They will be living alive forever. And they'll be enjoying life forever. But if you ever fight any philosophy that you have once learned and claimed because there's a new philosophy coming along, then you're in trouble. Not that you shouldn't follow new teachers and see what they have to say, and who knows, they might have some new input on something that you're interested in. That's fine. So go ahead, study with them, learn from them. But always remember, be yourself and have fun. And if at any time what you're learning tells you that you are a sinner, that you are evil, that you are bad, or that you have done anything wrong, if anybody ever teaches you that you've done something wrong, that you did this wrong and that's why you got that problem, run away from them. Because they want to own you. If somebody says to you, "Hey, your life, you want your life better? Put a new cause in motion. Nothing wrong with the past. Put a new cause in motion. Let the past go. Put a new cause in motion." The new cause is, I like me. Can you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that for all in your world?
Yes.
Can you talk about the Minnesota terrorist situation that happened 2 days ago? Can you talk about that and say, all is in divine order? It's done. And then they contacted me and they said, nothing came of it. And it was from a foreign input that the information came, and so forth and so on. All is in divine order. There's no problem. Now, when problems come is when people don't say it's all in divine order. When they say, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, the sky is falling down. And when you say, little red robin, little cock robin, and said the sky is falling down, everybody thought she was crazy. Yeah. But that's the world. Forget the past. Live in the present. Live in the now. Enjoy who you are. Be who you are. And stay on campus here as long as you're willing to join in the program and be a blessing to the program and to all of the people who come here to find peace in themselves, to find the truth about themselves. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And anybody who wants to get angry at me because of what I teach, and they have been learning from me for 30 years, and then all of a sudden they want to get angry. Well, what's happening? They're just having a new attitude. And to go into the new attitude, they have to somehow discredit the old attitude. You know, it reminds me of the man and woman who got married. And they just screwed each other's head off. They just loved each other's pieces. They just thought, oh, we're meant for each other. And for 20, 30 years, they lived together. And they were so happy together. And then all of a sudden, one day, they decided, hey, I want to go a different path. And they separate. And he says she's terrible, and she says he's terrible. And I say, no, no. You're ready to walk a different path, and that's okay. You don't need to be worried about being claimed by each other. You are so wonderful. You are so fantastic, each of you. You chose the most ideal man and woman that you could marry, and you married them. And you had the most ideal marriage that you could have in your consciousness up until this point. And now you're ready for some new experiences. And don't knock the past. Don't knock your choices. Don't knock how beautiful you are and how wonderful the person is that you chose to marry. And don't ever forget it. Don't ever forget it. Because you are going to walk away. Many walked away from Jesus. Many followed Jesus for a while and thought his teachings were too tough to follow, because they liked the other attitudes that they've been learning. And why is it that the early religious people called other people heretics? Why did they call other people the Samaritans, you know, another philosophy, another way of thinking? And if the truth were known, it was the same teaching.
Of course.
It was just perhaps the people had a different color skin.
Mm.
How interesting. Different attitude of their mind. And some people say, interesting that I wonder what God would think about that if she were watching. You know? How interesting, isn't it? Have a lovely day, and live what you believe, and believe all of the beautiful things that life could ever share with you right now.
Okay.
And know that regardless of how you act and how you do anything, I see you whole and perfect. And I rant and rave and give you all of this stuff and bring up things of the past and stuff about my beloved special students in Europe and so forth, here and there and everywhere. And, you know, they all come back. They all come back because I unconditionally love them. They get mad at their mother or dad. They run away from home. but they still respect and love their mother and dad because that's where it all began. And I still respect and love each one of you all, them all, each all, because you're my creation, and I love you. I love you. I love you.